Chris Robinson joins us on the Sunday Supplement, our local historian based on the Barbican. Nice to see you, Chris.
And you, Tim.
And I say our local historian because what we're about to do will be of benefit to anyone who's studying local history, I think, because you've... And this is something we've never done in all the years we've been doing this feature, is talk about where our local place names come from.
Well, as it's the summer season and, you know, a lot of people come down here and they enjoy Plymouth Hoe, and, you know, the question that they often ask is, why is it called Hoe?
I know. And yet local people, I'm sure some will know and some won't, but we don't ask that question because we're just used to it, aren't we? It's just part of the furniture. So come on then, why is it called the Hoe?
It's a high ridge.
Oh, okay.
And before it was quarried away up and down either side of the Plym, you had... quite a high bank on either side.
Yeah.
But most of what's out in the middle of the Sound propping up the breakwater came from either side of, either from Areston or Plimstock Pomfret Way, or it came from Catdown. So you don't see the high cliffs that used to be there.
Right.
But it was actually quite high-sided on either side of the Plym. And the area we now call Mount Batten used to be called Hoare Sturt, which was the end of the high ridge. Yeah. So there was the high ridge on one side, and actually Who, over near Turnchapel Plimstock, is the same derivation as Ho. It's just got an extra O in it,
yes,
really.
Yeah.
So you've got Ho and Who, the high ridges on either side of the water. And then nestling in behind the Ho, behind the high ridge, out of sight, which is why they developed the community there, you've got the Barbican,
right,
or Sutton, which was originally the south town, the Sudton, of the Walkhampton Hundred.
It's all very logical when you explain it like that,
and,
isn't it?
And the Barbican actually comes from a later development when they built the castle, which gives Plymouth its crest, the salt eye, the cross with the four towers. That castle used to be sited at the top of Castle Street, funnily enough, and Castle Dyke Lane, and overlooked the Barbican. And the Barbican was the little fortress by the water, which had a sort of secret passage or just a covered passageway up to the castle on the hill. So a barbican really is just a fortress by the water.
And because it's a fairly generic term, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
there's one in London.
To Plymouth,
Well, not just unique to Plymouth, but there is one at Plympton as well.
Right.
Where you've got the castle at Plympton and the mound, and it's a Norman castle out there, just at the end of the Mott area, you've got a place called the Barbican, a house called the Barbican. And that's because the Plym used to be navigable right up as far as the castle. And you've got mooring posts underneath the ground there that occasionally come to light because it was just a port.
Yeah.
Plympton was a port. And we don't think of it now because the river silted up and then there was landfill to create areas that you could develop out there and housing for all the garages that are out in Plym Valley.
As you've told us before, I think at one stage Plymouth was... where we know as Plymouth anyway, was much smaller than Plympton and Devonport.
Yeah.
And
Plympton was a thriving town when Plymouth was a fuzzy down. That's how they describe it.
That's remarkable. Yeah.
And the actual name for the Plym, we think, is a back formation. So Plympton is the settlement on the Plym. But the river, we believe, was originally called the Mew or the Meavy. And I know there's a River Meavy, but the Mew Stone is kind of the end of the opening of that big river. But then on the other side, you've got the Tamar, and you've got the settlement on the Tamar, the Tun, or the settlement there, which is Tamerton, of course.
Now, that was going to be the last one I asked you, because we'll no doubt come back to these in the future, but let's have one more for today. I understand that an American friend of ours once referred to it as Tamerton Folliot, so what... What was Tamerton Folliot? How did that come about?
Well, it was just in the possession of the Folliot family.
Right.
So, you know, it was there, Tamerton. And further down, you had Budshead, which came from St. Budo, who came across from Normandy and settled in the river. And from him, you get Budshead, Budo's Head, Budshead Creek, and Budshead. And you also get St. Budo, only originally it was B-U-D-O, and we French... Frenchified it to become B-U-D-E-A-U-X.
Very good.
But it's the same pronunciation, of course.
I still prefer Tamerton Folliot. Chris, as always, great to see you. Thanks very much. We'll see you next month.
Cheers, Tim.